This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:04 in the evening. You are listening to Lee Chui Lin and Kelvin Yee, of course. And our first story, we're kind of continuing our discussion about money and politics, really, because Barisan Nasional has filed suits against its former MPs, Bagan Serai lawmaker Nur Azmi Ghazali and Masjid Tanah representative Mas Ermiyati Samsudin, to demand repayment for funds that the coalition had spent on their election campaigns, which they won in GE14.
UMNO Secretary General Anwar Musa said yesterday night, that the Barisan Nasional lawyers have filed writs of summons against the two MPs who have since left the party. Last month, UMNO President Ahmad Zahid Hamidi said the party would file suits against those who have left.
So he said that at the time, UMNO wanted all its former MPs who quit to pay off their debt, referring to funds that the party put into their campaigns, which then, of course, allowed them to win in the GE. To date, 17 MPs have quit the party, and that leaves UMNO with only 37 MPs in Dewan Rakyat.
Of the 17, three, Ermiyati, Mustafa Mohamed and Azmi have joined Bersatu, while Rosman Isli of Labuan has joined Warisan. Now, on the rumours that six MPs wanting to rejoin UMNO, Anwar said UMNO has yet to receive or have any official discussions on the issue.
This is just one of the many complications that occur when we see people kind of leaving parties and wanting perhaps to join other parties. It calls into question, I think, all these different things, the waste of money, for example, if you feel the need to call for a by-election. As some people have said, if you're going to quit the party, you also need to vacate your MP position. So do we want to go through that? Now there's this other question of, well, look, you know, if our funds were part of what helped you win that race, then shouldn't we be reimbursed? And I guess it depends. I mean, if you view it as an investment for your party, then you might say, well, hey, look, it's like, I suppose, getting, your company funding your training.
Yeah.
Things like that. And usually they bind you to them for a certain period of years. And it's not exactly the same, but it's similar-ish, I think, where it's like, well, hey, look, we believed in you. We gave you this money. What now?
UMNO to me sounds a bit like a bitter ex, you know. So I think last year, Party President Zahid Hamidi said that these candidates didn't win because of their names, but on the backs of UMNO and Barisan Nasional. So I think he isn't wrong to say that, because a lot of us in Malaysia do vote for the party instead of the candidate. And you're right, it's also perhaps seen that he might, UMNO and Zahid and its leaders might just be bitter shareholders because it's an investment that's gone wrong.
That's definitely one way to view it. This is one of those things where I feel as if, like I said, it's just part of an ongoing display of, this is what happens when you decide to pull these sorts of moves after the election. You know, elections are supposed to decide the direction of the country, but in a smaller sense, they also decide who is going to be taking care of you in your constituency. Who are the people who are going to be working for you? And so to say, like, hey, I'm going to put my trust in this party, and then to have that be repaid with, hey, we're not part of the party anymore. I think that it is somewhat unfair. It's unfair to the voter. And in this case, loath as I am to say it, I can see why UMNO would say that it's unfair to them as well.
I'm not sure if it's necessarily unfair to the voters in the sense of how it would work operationally, because right now it's still very unfortunate that opposition leaders do not get the same amounts of allocation as a federal or government government-linked leader has. So maybe in a sense, with more funding, they can actually serve their constituents better. So in that sense, to me, it doesn't seem so unfair that they switch over parties, which was a reason that Jeli MP Tokpa gave. I don't necessarily agree with the perspective he came from, but the reason is fair and valid.
Sure, but the counter argument would be that it's not about operations. It's about, to go back to it, it's about manifestos, it's about belief, it's about why I voted for you. And I think in our country, the why of voting continues to be so complex. I mean, even now that we are 8 months out from that really, you know, direction-changing election, it doesn't change the fact that we really don't know. We can't account for all the different whys that people voted for, all the different whys people voted for certain people, why certain parties won, why others didn't. And so because of that, I think It's really hard to tell. But in the meantime, let's cross over now to constitutional lawyer Nguyen Yu. Nguyen Yu, thanks for joining us. So can you sue a politician or an MP for leaving his or her political party?
It depends. And I know lawyers like to say it depends. But in this case, it really depends on why you are suing the politician for leaving the political party. A political party cannot prevent a politician from leaving. So if you're suing him in order to prevent him from leaving, I'm afraid the political party won't be successful. But if the political party is suing him on some other cause of action, such as in this case it was the repayment of a debt, then yes, you can. But again, it depends on what has been agreed between the political party and the politician.
What grounds does BN have in this case to take legal action against the Bagan Serai and Masjid Tanah MPs?
Well, it was reported that BN is demanding repayment for funds the coalition had spent on their election campaigns. So it sounds to me that it's a contractual claim where a sum of money had presumably been given to the successful candidate as a loan. And when the successful candidate leaves the party, BN demanded that they repay the loan.
Right. So for this then to go in BN's favour, there would have to be some kind of black and white agreement made beforehand that this was a loan of sorts. And, you know, am I understanding this right? That if the terms were violated, you'd have to repay this amount of money?
Yes. So it all goes back to what has been agreed between the candidate and the political party. But what I could think of is that if BN is successful against the current MP or Adun, and the current MP or Adun is not able to repay the loan or repay whatever money that has been spent on them by BN, then BN could initiate bankruptcy proceedings against them. And if BN is successful in that, it would be a disqualification, because once you are declared a bankrupt, you'll be disqualified from being a member of the legislature, whether it's the parliament or the state assembly. It goes back to really what was agreed between the candidate and the political party. If it was given in good faith, without any expectation or agreement for the repayment of any monies or any expenses, then the political party will not be able to be successful. They won't be successful in the claim.
So we spoke recently about the proposal for an anti-party hopping law. Bursay 2.0 Chairperson Thomas Phan disagreed with the need for a law and said that this is a question of ethics. Do you think there is a need to set ground rules of any sort for this in future, if not a law?
I think that there is a need to regulate party hopping and introduce such laws, because voters identify with the parties more than they do with the candidates. In a sense, voters are voting for the party and not the candidate. However, under our constitution, political parties are not recognized. I know this might come across as a surprise, but only the individual member of parliament or state assembly person is recognized. And all the rights and privileges of being a member of the legislature lies with that MP or that Adun, and not the political party. This is quite different in reality, where we have party whips and MPs voting along party lines, and they very rarely break party ranks. So there is a difference from what happens in practice and what is stated in the constitution. In the past, the Kelantan state constitution, and I'm talking about the Nordin Saleh's case, the Kelantan state constitution has a provision which states that a member of the legislative assembly who is a member of a political party stops becoming a member of the legislative assembly if he resigns or for whatever reason stops becoming a member of the political party. The Supreme Court held that this provision of the Kelantan State Constitution was inconsistent with the Aduns Freedom of Association under Article 10.1c of the Federal Constitution, and declared that this provision void. So based on the Federal Constitution and the decision of the Supreme Court, it is unlikely that any anti-hopping law can be introduced in Malaysia. One way around that is to amend the Federal Constitution to recognize political parties, which is currently absent, and introduce a new disqualification for members of the legislature when they leave the political party. But this won't be easy in this political climate.
Sinyu, thanks for speaking with us. That was constitutional lawyer Niu Sinyu talking to us about Barisan Nasional's recent legal claims made against two former UMNO MPs who have left the party. Let us know what you think about this. I mean, do you think that there is a case here? Is it something that is viable? And also let us know what you think about people who do quit after winning elections and, you know, kind of make moves towards moving towards other parties. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. This is The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.